Amen. Well, guys, today we're going to talk about something that is pretty important, because we're going to talk about something that will, the Bible says, determine whether or not we get to go to heaven. Oh, my. That's putting faith in Jesus, right? Absolutely. God saved us, free gift, all those things, but he does require us for that to happen. And when he has us, something else will happen. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are to be, and that we are, chosen, that we're royal because we belong to the King, to Christ, and we're right with God because of him, that we are a holy nation, his own special people, that we are to proclaim his praises. He's called us out of darkness and into his glorious light. He set us apart. And the act of salvation is free. It's God's grace. But there's a second act of grace that will happen when we're living with Jesus and when we know him and we're walking with him, when we're in his word and part of his church and our hearts are his. It's called sanctification, which is a big church word. But it means that our lives will change, that we'll become more Christ-like, that we will be set apart and different. And do you know what the Bible says? Some people call it holiness. It's about being holy. And I'm not sure I've ever preached explicitly on this subject here in almost 5 years. And if I haven't, I apologize to you. We talk about holiness. We know how important it is. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, without holiness, you'll never get to heaven. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Hebrews says, without holiness, no one will see God. And so even though, yes, we're under grace and God has saved us through his mercy, and our covenant is grace, holiness, being set apart, and how we live our lives is very important. You guys know, as your pastor, I guess I have a lot of jobs, but I guess my heart's desire is that everyone here goes to heaven. If I care about you at all, it's my desire that your eternity, as in it never ends, don't even try to think about it, is spent in God's presence and with your loved ones and in heaven versus separated from God and in hell, in eternal torture. It's a big difference there. And if you care, and we care, which I do, I want you guys to get to heaven. Now, I know that we're all a work in process, if you will. And if you've never heard this one before, I really like how this always goes, but I'll use me as an example, and this is all of us, that I'm still a work in process, okay? You know what? God's got me in the oven, right? And God's the chef, and he's still working. I'm still baking. I'm still cooking. I'm still not there yet. But yet there's this constant process of getting done, if you will. We should be, as Christians, more holy. The sanctification should be going on. Our lives should be set apart, different, holy, good. We should be light. But I'm still in the oven. God still every once in a while sticks the toothpick in me and pulls it out and realizes I'm not done yet, you know? He's our author, the author and finisher of our faith. He's our chef. And one of these days, finally, the oven door is going to open and God's going to pull me out and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Amen. But that happens as we commit to living our lives for him. And I think there's almost a doctrine going around, this modern idea of kind of living willy-nilly, or, you know what, we're under grace, and so we all do struggle with sin, but we can kind of live how we want because of grace. It's not what the Bible says. Amen? It's not. We are under grace, but the Bible says, well then, shall we continue in sin? No, certainly not, it says, with an exclamation point. Guys, I want you to hear this. Holiness, or lack thereof, affects everything in your life. Every area of your life is affected by it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Romans. Kind of just two verses we're really going to ponder over this morning. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. You probably know the verses, but they're very important. They're very important. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. And I have a New King James Version, but I'll give you some other translations. He starts out with, "I beseech you," which sounds like a big kind of, is that like a Bible word? I don't use beseech in my daily life. Do you guys ever say beseech? "Honey, I beseech you this morning for some scrambled eggs." No? So here's what some other translations say. "I beg you, I plead you, I urge you," God is telling us. He's begging us. The writer is begging us. Listen to this. "By the mercies of God." It's just mercy. We don't deserve grace. He's been merciful to us. Amen. "So I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Or the translation I like is reasonable worship. And we'll get to that in a second. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. He begs us, he pleads us. And reasonable, sir, he's saying as a Christian, guys, that's just reasonable, that when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you die to yourself and you're his. It's what baptism is, putting away the old and coming into that new life, that new relationship. And it's our reasonable act of worship that we are sacrificed to our Lord. Now, okay, there's a lot of things we do that are good and that they're also part of God's plan, and we, you know, what worship is. We come to church and we sing worship songs and we obey God in lots of areas, and we, you know, what we raise our hands and we worship, we serve, we tithe. These all fall under good things. But do you know what God desperately, desperately, desperately wants from you as your reasonable act of worship is your obedience? That's what he wants. And that's right then, that's hard. I know, it's hard because we're human. It's like, man, I'll do all that other stuff, but to really obey and not have sin and to really not live how I want, but the heart that's his, it's all right. It's a process. It's a process, but holiness in our lives affects everything, and without it, we won't see God. Now listen, this doesn't mean you heard the word legalism in church. Well, now here we go. Here we go with all the do's and don'ts and no fun. I can't do anything. That's not what God wants. But oftentimes we use that as an excuse to not live holy lives. Well, I can't do it, and that's just not. I always preach that God wants us to enjoy life and have fun. It's not about do's and don'ts. No, it's not. And we'll get to that in a moment. It's mind-blowing good stuff. There's no excuse to live in sin. There's a big difference in sinning, again, not doing good or slipping up or saying or doing something. Oh, what did I do? And unfortunately, as the Bible talks about, and really statistics talk about, a lot of people who, I'm a Christian, choose to continually sin. And the Bible says, guys, you're not going to see God without holiness. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay, a few points from this morning. Really, I guess my first point would be there has to be a passion for God to have to have holiness in your life. You've got to be passionate about your Lord. I mean, you know what, if it's like, yeah, Jesus, okay, and come to church and what's for lunch, and then through the week it's like, I'm a Christian, but yeah, you've got to have a passion for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to have a passion, a heart-wrenching sorrow for the sins you've committed. Even though you're forgiven and God's forgotten them, you got to be sorry for your sin instead of just, sin. You've got to be sorry for your sins, past and present. You have to have a humility about the unworthiness that you have of having received God's grace. We don't deserve it. He just simply loves us. And we have to have a thankfulness for the Son of the living God who came and took your and my place on that cross. The death that we deserve, the judgment, the sin, the separation from God, the awfulness. He stood in your place. Does that make you happy and thankful? Should that make us humble and have a passion for him? Yeah, Paul begs and pleads here to be a living sacrifice, that we're supposed to be dead to self. Jesus is worth it. The Bible says, worthy is the Lamb, a passion for God. Holiness can't be achieved by a do's and don'ts list. If you hear this and think, I'm going to be a better Christian and live holy, because it's going to be do's and don'ts, and I'm going to be very strict with following the Bible, which we should, but when you love Jesus, you'll love his word. It's not something you can do in your mind. Let me tell you, I've tried the be better game a lot in my life. You got to be in love with the Lord. You've got to be humble. You've got to be thankful. You've got to be surrendered to him. You've got to have a living, growing love for Jesus, which will include being in him, being in his word, a commitment, a desire, that obeying it and him trumps your wants and your desires and your comfort, your habits, your status quo. Some of you here today, being holy, not living in sin, would require a major life change. You got to make a choice. You just do. What's more important, him, eternity, or you? What you want, how you think, feel? We all have to do it. We have to make decisions. Without holiness, we won't see God. So important. In Acts 10 and 11, and sometimes we can get tricky. tripped up with this, I'm pretty good, or I'm a good person, better than, or some of those things. In Acts 10 and 11, there was a man named Cornelius. And the Bible says Cornelius was a good guy. He feared God. He did good things. He did good stuff for the early church, and on and on and on. But still, God told him to send for Peter. You guys know Peter, the disciple. Peter denied Jesus. Peter was, of course, the rock upon which Jesus built the church, because Peter was forgiven, even though he denied Christ, and he turned back to the Lord and loved him and served him. And Cornelius, the good guy, sent for Peter, and Peter came because Cornelius, listen to this, this is applicable to you this morning and to me and all of us ongoing. Cornelius needed to be preached to. He was a good guy. He went had part of giving alms to God and feared God and all these things, but Cornelius didn't have a relationship with Jesus yet. And there was the big difference. And so Peter came and preached to Cornelius. And Cornelius heard it, and he changed his life. And the Bible says him and his whole household were saved. Cornelius needed to be preached to. And really, God just had on my heart this morning that here now, this morning in second service, that we need to be preached to about holiness. And if you're willing to listen like Cornelius was, things can change. There can be salvation. There can be great things in your life, because holiness affects every area of your life. And without it, you won't see God. Neither will I. Without holiness, even as a Christian, as one who's saved, as a pastor, without holiness, I won't see God. And I'm not going to, so once saved, always saved. I believe in eternal security. We're not even going there. If you know Jesus, there'll be holiness in your life. There just will, because without it, we won't see God. We won't go to heaven. Without holiness. Second point today. This is very important. How does holiness go beyond a concept and become applicable in your life? How does it become practical in your daily life? It's that age-old word. It's what Adam and Eve didn't want to do. It's what you and I don't want to do. It's just surrender and obey. Oh, man. You guys are mad at me now. Surrender and obey to the Lord. As Christians, that's the definition of being a Christian. Is He's the Lord of our life. So there'll be obedience. The Bible says, therefore, and as Brother Sam would say, when there's a therefore in the Word of God, you got to know what it's there for, because it's very important. The Bible says, therefore, as a result of the mercies of God, be a living sacrifice. Here's how you know you need to get on your knees, and I need to get on my knees. When the mercies of God don't break your heart, when you're not thankful for grace, when you're not thankful for salvation, when you're not thankful for life, when you're not thankful you get to worship, when church or time in the Word or a heart for the lost kind of goes away and it just becomes mundane, then we need some revival. We need some heart change. We need to come alive, because it's the mercies of God that make us want to be a living sacrifice. And if you're not thankful for His mercy, how can we not be? That He took your place. That the Son of God came and lived and died for you. And we have to be thankful for those mercies, and it makes us have. The Bible says that godly sorrow produces repentance, which leads to salvation. A sorrow for the sin in our life. How does that so easily get turned off? Is it the world we live in? Is it this day and age? What is it? Where sometimes we can lose our sorrow. We can lose our sorrow. Holiness becomes practical in our life when we're broken. And when we stay broken, who in the world am I? I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, and I'm so thankful He loves me and forgives me. And guys, that should just be our hearts every day, all the time. And when that's the case, well, I'm under grace. I guess I can kind of do what I want, but I don't want to let my Lord down. I want to live for Him. I want to please Him. I want to represent Him well in this world. You and I deserve death and punishment and judgment for our sin. We don't deserve mercy, but Jesus gave it to us. So would we waste His grace by living sinfully and not holy? God forbid. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And this is Paul writing, and this is me reading, but this is true for all of us. It says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's enabled me because He counted me faithful by putting me into the ministry." And again, guys, as a Christian, you're called to do ministry. We're all called to be Christ ambassadors to our world. We're called to represent Jesus in all we do. It says, "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, you and I, of who I and we are chief. However, for this reason, we obtain mercy, that in you and I, Christ Jesus might show his long-suffering, his patience, his love for all of us who will believe on him for everlasting life. His mercies never fail. He is worthy. Are you living to please him? Are you? So I want you to take a moment and think about the last week or the last month of your life. Are you living to please him? I didn't ask if you're perfect. I asked, are you living to please Jesus? Would a stranger or a fellow Christian or a pastor or God who sees all, would he look at your life and say, that's a person who's living a fairly holy life? Is that what would be said? Because without holiness, we won't get to heaven. Third point this morning is that the theory of holiness, what the Bible says about holiness, what I preach about holiness, even if you may believe that it sounds good, none of that is, listen to this, none of that's anything without the experience. Doesn't matter a bit without the experience. If you've never lived holiness, if you never have, if you won't change and commit to doing so, you have no idea what you're missing and will miss. Because holiness affects everything in your life. The experience of living holy is unmatched in this life. And I've experienced both sides of the mountain, if you will. And there's nothing like living for him. When you're committed to holiness, when you're obeying him, when you're loving and serving, when you're in that mold of not making decisions and choices and having lifestyles that lead to sin, that cause sin and consequences of sin and worry about sin and stress from sin, it's no way to live. And fights in your relationships, and I could go on all day long, there's a million things. If you've never experienced living holiness, and it's not a haughtiness, it's not an I'm better, I'm perfect, any of these things. It's a knowing you're living for the Lord. There's nothing like it. And the appeal in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says brothers, brethren, church. The appeal, this part of the Bible is to you and I. It's to you and I. That your holiness, my holiness, or lack thereof, affects everything in our lives and everything in our church and everything to the lost and everything in our world. It's not my job. It's my job as a follower of Jesus to be holy, but it's not my job for you to be. It's your job. And our holiness affects everything. Believe you me. Reaching the lost, the kingdom, eternity. If you're a Christian, yep. Now, right now, the enemy's working on some of us, maybe wants you to feel shame or defeated or angry or mad or whatever these things. What Jesus wants you to do is say, that's right. And it's time I change some things. I know I've got this sin in my life and I may not even go to heaven. It's going to affect the church. There might be a soul out there we can't reach because I'm disobedient, because I don't do this or I do that. How I live actually affects my life. I just want to come to church. How you live as a follower of Jesus affects the church because you are the church. You're his representative in the world. And the holiness we have or don't have affects everything. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. It talks about, and these are some rough verses, but we have to apply these to our lives and say, man, let me think about this. It says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And it describes how men and women will be when we just are turned off to God, when we're in dangerous place in our life. And if any of this applies to you, change that today. Listen, it says, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And I'm not saying that's like in us or any of us. I certainly hope and pray not. But does that sound like the world? Headstrong. Oh, the Bible, church people, that stuff. Believe whatever you want. Lovers of pleasure, lovers of money rather than lovers of God. Unforgiving. Unholy. Unholy. Whew. It is getting harder and harder. And again, I'm not a prude. It's getting harder and harder. And I've noticed it over the last maybe 6 months to a year. It's getting harder just to watch TV. And I mean, I'm not one of those people, you know. We have cable. It's getting harder to watch some of the messages, and when you really kind of get it a little bit, what's being thrown at you and thrown at your kids, and you're being fed, it's rough. It's rough. The theory of holiness is great, but living it is what matters. Oh, church, that we would be holy. God will do works in your lives and in my life and in this church and our community that you can't imagine. And you've heard God's, we know what our mission is. We know what the Great Commission is. We know some of the ministries we do. We know God is now calling us forward to impact the lives of the youth of our community. And we can say things like reaching youth is the key, and there's some truth to that. Let me tell you what the key is to the success of our church and the kingdom and being on earth as it is in heaven in Hoopston and in our church. The key is your holiness. Amen. That's just Bible 101. And that's why, yeah, it's kind of hard at times. That's the key, is our holiness and how we live. That's the key. And it will all stem from that. Because we can do all kinds of good stuff, but if we're out and we're not living holy, Revelation 2, the church at Ephesus. We talk about how the world is these days. The church at Ephesus, the Lord tells them, you got some good stuff going on, but this is the one where he says, but remember this. You've left your first love. Meaning you're just not in love with, on fire for Jesus. And guys, we understand it's not going to be every day you're going to wake up and go knock on doors and evangelize and pray for 4 hours. God gets this. But you know if you've left your first love. And listen to this. He says, repent. Remember from where you've fallen. Repent and do your first works, or I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now to the church, the lampstands represented the churches. And guys, you know what breaks my heart? And if I wasn't careful, I could probably cry. I'm just not sure there aren't churches all over the place that lampstand hasn't been removed. I'm never going to talk bad about church. Never going to mention a denomination. No. But churches that are giving into culture. Churches that are saying anything goes. Churches that aren't preaching about holiness. Listen, if this is tough this morning, thank you and thank the Lord that you've got a pastor who will preach on holiness. It's not an easy message to give. It's not an easy message to live. But it has to be taught and talked about. It's just God's word. And we're never, ever, ever can we have our lampstand removed. We're going to preach the truth of God's word, and we're going to try to live it. And we're going to try to do what he calls us to do. And that message is sometimes tough when we talk about that you and I individually have got to live holy lives. When we talk about the dirty sin word. The sin that wrecked this world and wrecks our lives if we're not careful. Holiness. The church there. And he talks about churches, and it comes true to this day of having their lampstands removed, where church becomes not about loving and serving and reaching the lost and community and fellowship and holiness, but church becomes about how we've done it and what the world says, and we're going to change what we think about this, and we're going to perform same-sex marriages, and I could go on all day long. I'm not going to get on that topic, but that's just not what God's word says is okay. So we're never going to do it. We love everyone, and we're all sinners saved by grace. Church, where we're about what I want. Well, I really, it's about me. I've got to have this music, and I'm the pastor, so I'm the boss. We don't do that stuff here. We're a body. We're a team. Parts working together. And that's why your holiness is so important. Because without holiness, we won't see God. And we as a church have to be so careful. And God's calling, I believe he's calling us to repent and to fall back and more in love with him. I do. I believe we're in a very integral season in the life of our church. Very important. Very, very, God is calling Pastor Bill and Melanie away, and God is calling Noah and Katana into ministry, and we're beginning to pray and let the groundwork be laid for another building facility off-site and to do youth ministry, and God's opening doors there. It's important right now that we are a praying people, that we are a people that are holy. We are a people that are listening to the Lord and following him. In Romans, we're commanded, to get back to Romans, we're commanded to be transformed. We have a tendency to compromise, but we need to be consistent because God's word and his truth never change. It's what's so neat. That's what's so great about being a pastor. You know, a lot of you guys do stuff for a living. You got to go to constant, you know, things are changing. You change your software. You change your system. You change how things are done. The laws change. Everything changes. I've got it so easy because God's word never changes, neither does he. So simple. And I go to those things as well and try to stay on top of it. We need to be sharp and with it. But God's word and truth just don't change. I'm going to stay in Revelation for just 1 second because we're okay here. Revelation chapter 4. Would you do me a favor? Would you just close your eyes this morning? Now listen, the Bible says it's sinful to even try to picture heaven. So the reason we're closing our eyes is because otherwise you're just looking at me. I'm probably sweating and the fans are going. And I just want you to just think about this image. In Revelation 4, he talks about the 24 elders around the 24 thrones and around God's throne and with the Lord. And these 24 elders, of course, represent are kind of representative of the Old Testament patriarchs and the New Testament, kind of the disciples, if you will. That's kind of how I take it. Some real heavy hitters of God. And these elders are around the throne and they're casting their crowns and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and keep your eyes closed." What's he worthy of in your life? What does your life show that he's worthy of? Of getting ourselves off the throne, of being humbled and being surrendered and being true disciples who want to honor and represent and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and in our world. You can open your eyes now. These 24 elders casting their thrones, casting their crowns before the thrones, before God, saying, and what they're really saying here is, God, all we did, all of our life, you know what it was? It was about you. It was about your glory. That's what our lives should look like. That's how we should treat people based on that outlook. That's how we should serve and live and be husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and Christians based on that. Loving and positive and serving and for the church and wanting to see the kingdom move forward and making it not about us because he's worthy. It's all about you, Jesus. We're to be living sacrifices, Romans 12. We are to be living sacrifices. What are you sacrificing today, or what do you need to? Guys, there's some stuff and some lives that need to be sacrificed. Get real for a second. Because without holiness, you won't see God. And that day's coming. You'll be standing before him. And you certainly won't care about what you wouldn't give up back on planet Earth. You'll be thinking about eternity. Because without holiness, no one will see God. Not me, not you, no one. What's better than to live a life pleasing to God? This life is just here and gone. What's better than to live a life pleasing to him while you're still here and you still can? You want to know who taught us in the Bible since it's Mother's Day? This wasn't planned, but this is just something God just kind of gave to me. You know who taught us since it's Mother's Day the key to healing and wholeness and happiness? Mary. Who taught us the key to wholeness and to happiness and to joy and to blessings? Mary, Jesus' mother. Because you know what Mary did? Whatever God said. There it is. I mean, God says, hey, you're going to be conceive a child born by the Holy Spirit. You're going to be immaculately conceived and you're going to go to Jerusalem and all this stuff's going to happen. She didn't say, what? She said, whatever you say, Lord. So when you get preached this message or you read that passage or you know something's right or wrong and you just, nah, how about whatever you say, Lord? Some of you convicted here today, this is in my life and this, gosh, this has got to go, but I'm not going to do anything about it. How about whatever you say, Lord? Mary taught us that. Because sometimes whatever God says, it doesn't make sense to us, or it might not fit our life, or it might cost us something or disrupt our life. A follower of Jesus is going to say, whatever you say, Lord. Without holiness, no one will see God. Dan, we're going to close in just a second here. It's getting time. You've got to be set apart. And I'm afraid there might be Christians here today who aren't living a life that's set apart. It's just a life. It's just a life. I went to the altar. I prayed a prayer. I was baptized. So now I'm going to heaven. How are you living your life? Are you walking with Jesus? Is your life set apart? Will you let him be Lord of your life today? You know what the Bible says? Jesus promises this. He promises us, you, me, that if we will surrender our hearts and lives to him, he will lead us on paths we've never known, a life you've never dreamed of. If you'll commit to being holy, you'll have a life you've never known and a path you've never dreamed of. And Isaiah 32:17 says, the fruit of that righteousness, the fruit of that holiness will be peace. Isaiah 32:17 says, its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. Do you want peace and quietness and confidence? Do you want that joy of knowing you're going to not only see God, but spend forever with him? Or are you letting this world pull you the other way? Because we're told not to be transformed to this world, but to be different, to be set apart, and to be holy. Because without holiness, we'll never see God. Would you stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name with just grateful hearts. And Lord, there are some here today, and I would hope that everyone in here this morning, Lord, has a relationship with you, is saved, that knows you. But Lord, even us, God, we need to have humble hearts, because it's because of your mercy and grace that we are to be living sacrifices. And Lord, at this time, we're just going to open up the altar to pray. And it takes humility to come to this altar. And also, Lord, everyone you ever called in your ministry in your life, you called publicly, which is why we come forward to an altar. And Lord, I know there are some today that need to be broken, because without holiness, we'll never see you. And coming forward and praying doesn't mean there's something wrong with this or something to feel bad about. It means that you're waiting with open arms to forgive us, to change our lives, to give us a quietness and a confidence and a peace, and to ensure that we will get to see and be with you forever, simply because you love us. Lord, our holiness, the holiness of every person in this room today, matters to this church. And Lord, if there's anything or anyone we need to pray about, pray for ourselves, Lord, would you give us the boldness to come forward and to pray? In Jesus' name, amen.